Let's say it does get released today. I think it's going to be interesting to see how greatly it's adopted. As a node runner, you know, I want to have say over what goes in my mempool.
If you're paying attention, man, CBDCs, digital IDs, those are things that you do not want to, you know, find yourself wrapped up with. This is suicide.
Hackers are manipulating Gemini, and it looks like maybe other AI platforms as well, so they can embed hidden instructions into images.
This is the kind of thing that you don't want to see from the person that you voted for. This is crony capitalism.
I mean, the depth of the corruption here is like outstanding. I mean, it goes all back, you know, to the phrase, it's one big club and you're not part of it. Well, this is the club and this is what these people do inside of it.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Greer and Tony with me. Gents, today is the big day. Core version 30 is rolling out, at least that's the word on the street. So going to be interesting to see what happens. I've got this tweet from Nick Szabo. So he says, as hopefully a temporary measure run knots, I strongly recommend not upgrading to core version 30. We've talked about this a lot on the show. Greer, I think you're the most passionate about this particular subject, so I'm going to let you run with this one first.
Yeah, I've been running knots since I learned more about this issue, and I'll admit that it took me a long time to really come to grips with both sides of this. And I think, like you, Michael, I've wanted to learn, and it's been a fantastic learning opportunity. Unfortunately for me, what I learned about Core 30 makes me less likely to ever want to run it. So let's say it does get released today. I think it's going to be interesting to see how greatly it's adopted. I think the risks are there. As a node runner, you know, I want to have say over what goes in my mempool. And there are things that I am not willing to relay. What strikes me most is that when you take the amount of node runners in the world, it is a small group. There are something like 25,000 nodes in total. So the core is really dismissing their best customer. The node runners are the users outside the mining industries. So I think, you know, this will be it's an unfortunate day, I think, for Bitcoin, because really it shows that a small group of people have power over the implementation for this material. So, I am 100% on knots, but I also want to see Core either delay this, allow more people to learn about it. You know, ignoring your customer base and your user base, I think, is a very strong red flag. And whatever the outcome, the in the community, the complaints and the possibilities for this to go wrong, it's all been raised. It's out in the open. So, you know, pushing forward to me is really just a huge signal that the node runners to Core don't matter at all, and our opinion means nothing.
The excuse that they've given that bothers me is that it's just this loud minority of people, and I just. Like they're blaming it on bots. They're blaming it on, well, it's just a handful of people on Twitter. I mean, we're throwing these videos up where we discuss this on YouTube, and like we'll get, we're a relatively small channel. We might get dozens of comments saying run knots, run knots, run knots. And I don't think those are bots, you know, because we'll respond and someone will reply back, and it feels like it's a pretty. It's a conversation that people are really having. And people I personally know, I mean, people I respect, people like Parker Lewis and George Bodine, you know, they're talking about running knots, and Nick Szabo, verified Nick Szabo. So it's very frustrating. I'm less clear on the technical implications, but incredibly concerned about the precedent that this sets. Tony, what do you have to say?
Man, this is such a convoluted debate that has, you know, stretched on for far too long. I mean, who's right here and who's wrong? I mean, that's yet to be seen. But I completely agree with what Nick Szabo is saying. You know, as a temporary measure, definitely hold off. I mean, I don't agree with the way Core handled this. From a people's perspective, they failed, you know, like spectacularly. But the thing is, at the same time, part of me wants to see what happens. You know, because, you know, we want Bitcoin to be this bulletproof protocol, right? Like the future of money. And so it needs to be able to survive and withstand, you know, pretty much anything that comes at it, because you don't know who's going to throw what when. And so if we're worried that something like this is going to blow up or destroy Bitcoin, well, then, you know, like, maybe it wasn't as strong. I don't believe that at all. I think, you know, this is definitely not an existential threat to Bitcoin, but I think it's a people's problem. The attitude that Bitcoin Core, you know, displayed here is like serious red flags. I don't know what the cause behind it. Eventually, the truth will come out, but for now, definitely hold off on upgrading to version 30. I would stay with Knots if that's what you're running and just, you know, one step at a time.
I completely agree. All righty, guys. Speaking of shitcoins, Rob Wallace tweeted, we added $20 billion of worthless Argentinian fiat to our strategic reserves before adding a single dollar worth of Bitcoin. So I think we all agree the SBR is just a bunch of nonsense using stolen money to buy the best asset in the world. So we're kind of glad they've held off. But this is an interesting article. So on motherjones.com, Trump's Argentina bailout enriches one well-connected U.S. billionaire. And it goes on to talk about hedge fund manager Rob Citrone and how he and Bessent go back a long ways. And there was this quote in here. Where he says, I think there's a special time every 5 or 10 years where there's a really spectacular trade and investment that will then concentrate in a meaningful way. 2013, the dollar yen, where we made over $1 billion long dollar yen. And in fact, you know, we discussed it quite a bit with George Soros, that is. And I kind of convinced George and Scott Bessent the time to go big on that. And, you know, Scott says I'm responsible for 75% of his bonus at Soros, kind of jokingly, over that time. And so this is a guy whose deals in Argentina, specifically buying Argentinian debt, have gone south, and he benefits immensely from what we can gather from this $20 billion bailout. Tony, I don't see any reason why the U.S. government should be buying Argentinian pesos. We don't rely immensely on their economy. They're not a massive trade partner. They've been struggling for forever. And I'd love to know what your thought is on this whole gig.
Well, come on, man. It's budget neutral. Don't you see that? I mean, the depth of the corruption here is like outstanding. I mean, it goes all back, you know, to the phrase, it's one big club and you're not part of it. Well, this is the club and this is what these people do inside of it. They live in their own bubble, man. Like, I mean, this is organized crime. This is like a mafia. Call it whatever you want, man. It's a club that is, you know, comprised of a number of people, and those people don't, you know, include the regular population. And as long as we keep giving these people power and relevance, this is never going to stop. Like, it's never going to stop. And the only way you put an end to it is by bankrupting them. And the way you do that is that you stop using their product, the dollar. Stop using it. It's not money. And so as long as people ignore that or think like it's okay, whatever, nothing changes. Well, something will change. You're going to reach financial suicide at some point because your purchasing power is going to be obliterated. These guys don't care. They keep printing this garbage out of thin air. They will never run out of paper to spend, but you will. So for the regular folk, this is not a club. This is not a product you want to endorse anymore. There is an option now. It's called Bitcoin. Learn 7 steps. Learn how to use it. It's money. No one can play these games, you know, on that new protocol. And so we're going to hear more stories of this. It's definitely entertaining, though. I mean, definitely not a boring moment.
No kidding. So one other comment here, it says in the article that in the short term, this investment that he made looked to be savvy because of Malay's actions, firing government workers, cutting welfare expenses. But it says inflation was reduced to around 40%. So they dropped inflation to 40%, not by 40%. And so this trade that we got is we've got now Argentinian pesos that are presumably being, devalued in the tens of percentage points per year. Greer, do you have any other follow-up comments on this?
Yeah, it's good to have friends in high places, apparently. I think if you're a Trump voter, this is the kind of thing that you don't want to see from the person that you voted for. You know, this is crony capitalism. As Tony said, you know, hey, it's a big club and you're not in it. I mean, perfectly put. So $20 billion divided by every American is $60, right? So the administration probably thinks, hey, this is no big deal. $20 billion is a drop in the bucket when we owe $37 trillion and have 100 plus trillion in unfunded liabilities. But the story here is that when people get power, no matter what party they're in, they're going to do things that that people don't like. So I think that, you know, Tony, you said it, opt out, start using Bitcoin, and, you know, realize that your vote really doesn't get the person that you elect to do everything you want. This is a bitter pill to swallow if you're paying attention. And I think what they believe is, you know, this will just be another story in the dustbin. Everyone will look the other way and learn nothing from this.
All righty, we've been talking about this one a lot, but it's very important. So I think this is Great Britain news. Digital ID cards could be rolled out to access your own money, says Keir Starmer, an extraordinary admission. So we've talked about this, the connection between digital IDs and CBDCs and how it benefits. They propose it as something that's going to benefit convenience and efficiency, when really it just means they're going to have complete and utter control of everything that you do in your entire life. Tony, you've been warning about these for a long time. What do you think about this? They're admitting
Digital IDs, you have to stay away from this, you know, as far as possible. This is like a life sentence. It's digital enslavement for the modern age. I call it, you know, it's digital IDs are for donkeys, for people that don't want to think and, you know, are okay being pushed around and, you know, being told what to do 24/7. You have zero freedom, zero autonomy, zero leeway to think on a digital ID, especially when it's controlled by a bunch of Looney Tunes like this idiot who's trying to push this and force people into it. No one should be paying attention to these people. These people are not figures of authority. These are criminals. These are folks that should be ignored 100% and removed from power, like, immediately. Like, why are these people still around, you know, talking and making all these stupidities on a daily basis? Like, why are people putting up with it? Why is he still in power in government, you know, talking every day? He should be thrown out like 6 months ago. But yet, you know, here we are, people complain, but nothing changes. So if you're paying attention, man, CBDCs, digital IDs, those are things that you do not want to, you know, find yourself wrapped up with. This is suicide. You will have no more life. You consider it over if you get stuck in either one of them.
Didn't we see a poll like a week or two ago when we were talking about this, that something like 52 or 53% of Brits want a digital ID? I think there was something to that effect. And so the reality is, like, not everyone's fighting this. It was only like 25 or 30% of people who, you know, said they want nothing to do with this. So I think part of the problem is just education, understanding, because I'm sure a large percentage of those people, if they understood the concept of digital slavery, would not want this.
Well, the ones that push for this are those that have nothing. The broke-ass lazy bums always go for this thing because they think it's living for free. Except this time, it's not. It's living for free, but a different type of life. It's not the life where you're going to go around and get drunk at the pub every Sunday thinking, you know, life's cool. It's not it at all.
Yeah. Greer, what would you add?
Yeah, they originally were selling this as a way to combat immigration, right? So employers wouldn't be able to hire people that came into the country illegally. And to give the people in the UK the benefit of the doubt, maybe that's the reason for the support. They were buying the marketing. I think when Keir jumped up on stage, this was really an oops moment. You know, this is the saying the quiet part out loud. They're going to sell it next as convenience. And as people start to see that it's not really convenient in the way they want, they'll come up with some other reason why you have to do it and why you have to accept it. So, you know, stay on your toes. They're going to continue to find ways to convince you that this is in your interest. But as we've said here, this is the thing that you don't want. We have tools today, Bitcoin, Nostr. There are ways that you can identify yourself and maintain your privacy. My goal and my hope is that we see more people start to understand these revolutionary technologies as an alternative to the state seeking more control, because Nostr can protect your privacy and still give you the access that you want to use all the services. But, you know, it's still early and those things need to be built.
Yeah. And I would add that using those sorts of tools is important, but setting up the tools with which you access those tools is also important. Ensuring that your computer, your browsing is done privately, your phones, the apps aren't tracking you. Like, there's a whole web of surveillance that happens. And I think addressing sort of the root issues first, like what hardware and what OS are you using, is critical to all of this as well. Alrighty, guys, we've got Bitcoin Flying Raven here. Bitcoin treasury companies force the people involved to focus on TradFi security games rather than putting their energy into Bitcoin. And he is resharing one of David Bailey's tweets about their first company-wide in-person meeting. So they've been doing this strategy for a year now, and they're just now getting together in person. I think I saw Daniel Prince tweet something about a year ago, this was maybe a week past, but a year ago they launched at $1.03, kindly MD, and they closed at exactly $1.03. So they had their big peak to like $25 a share or something like that. So all the early investors got to dump on retail, worked out perfectly. I think this is a great point, though. It's, where are you putting your energy when it comes to Bitcoin? Are you putting your energy into the possibility of freedom and self-sovereignty that Bitcoin presents, or are you putting your money into just making more fiat and accumulating for yourself and a small handful of people? Greer, I'll let you take this one.
In my opinion, David is desperately trying to change the story. There's a lot of headwinds that his company, this new entity that he created, is facing. And I think the more that he goes out and tries to convince people that what they're doing is going to be good for investors is really making it worse. Seeing an admission like the team doesn't meet in person, plus some of the other things that he's said this week and back and forths, are really, in my opinion, calling into question that he understands the game he's playing. I think you're right as well. So Flying Raven is making a great point, one that Jeff Booth also has made that's very popular. You know, remove your energy from the fiat broken system and put it into Bitcoin. Really, we can start playing around with these, you know, Bitcoin treasury companies 10 years from now. Maybe MicroStrategy will become a bank. Maybe they'll be gobbling up other companies that are failing. And I think that those are all companies, in my opinion, for a later date. Now's the time to buy and stack as much Bitcoin as you're able to. That's what these companies are all doing. Everyone's looking to get company are looking to get Bitcoin. They're not looking to get exposure to it. So the signal here is stick with things that are simple that you can understand.
Yes. Tony, you've been building in the Bitcoin space for a couple of years. Does this drive nuts?
Man, this is for the regular person. This is a scam. Stay away from it. Again, this all goes back to that club that you're not a part of. Unless you're one of these insiders that knows all these people and knows when to get in and when to get out, This is not your playground. You will lose your money. And so the time and energy that you're going to put in here chasing this rubbish, you know, you could have easily done your taken that energy and bought Bitcoin, learned how to use it and stored it for your future family, right? I mean, this is how you preserve your purchasing power. This is how you build your generational wealth. And the window of time to do this is not that big anymore. In fact, it's very, very small. All these gimmicks, you know, these Bitcoin treasuries are here to separate ignorant people from their money. That's how I see it. There's no other way, because, you know, they sell you on the marketing that, you know, this is going to be better than Bitcoin, bigger returns, better returns. Yes, if you're on the inside and you've already holding this garbage way before the public knows about it, then yeah, maybe you have a chance. But by the time you find out, you're the exit liquidity. So again, stay away from this. Go straight to the asset itself, Bitcoin, in self-custody. Done.
Well said. All righty, we're going to jump to this one. So we're going to watch this video and then talk a little bit about it.
Hackers just figured out how to hide secret instructions inside images, and Google Gemini is falling for it. When you upload an image to an AI tool, it usually gets downscaled, shrunk to save money, and run faster. But researchers showed that if an image is specially crafted, that downscaling process actually reveals hidden text the human eye can't see. The AI then reads that ghost text like it's part of your instructions without you knowing. In one demo, the attack tricked Gemini into sending your Google Calendar data to a hacker's email address. This exploit worked against Gemini CLI, Vertex AI Studio, Gemini's API, even Google Assistant on Android. And the team that discovered it even released a tool called Anamorpher to easily generate these images. So how do you protect yourself? Well, be aware that prompt injection attacks are not slowing down, and they're increasingly going to target your connected services like Google Drive, Calendar, or email. So when you have the option, consider whether you want to connect those services to AI. Only upload images from trusted sources, and always double-check the text you paste into a chatbot before you hit enter, because hidden commands might be riding along.
Alrighty, so hackers are manipulating Gemini, and it looks like maybe other AI platforms as well, so they can embed hidden instructions into images. So if you're pulling an image from, you know, Google Images or somewhere like that, anywhere online, they can plant hidden instructions within the image that you can't see that the AI is going to execute on. The example is, you know, you could have your, all your calendar information sent off to an email address or something like that. So very scary stuff. I'm hopeful that, you know, Gemini is going to catch wind of this. They're always going to be patching it in that to the extent that they care about the user, which I think is questionable. But in the meantime, Tony, what are some takeaways? Like, what can you do as a user as we sort of uncover these new risk vectors?
Yeah, this is scary stuff, man, because if you become a casualty of this, like, God knows what the damage could be. This is called payload injection. And the way you can work around this, I mean, this is something that I've been doing for a very long time. It's basically, if you're going to be, first of all, if you're going to download an image from the internet, make sure it's like a pretty reputable place that you're downloading it from. Like, don't randomly download stuff from like a Discord or Telegram, you know, without knowing who the source is. If you are, there are tools out there that you can use to strip the metadata from these photos, like things like EXIF tool, for example. So this is like something that I've been using for a very long time, just out of, you know, good habit. So it takes that picture and it strips it from everything, you know, all the metadata that is inside, and leaves it with just a photo. So you can do this. Or, as Greer mentioned, you know, offline earlier, if you don't care about the high-res version of the photo that, you know, you want, take a screenshot of it. You know, that completely bypasses any malicious intent that's injected in the photo itself. But again, as AI, you know, matures and we move, you know, more towards that world, you're going to expect a lot more of these things. I mean, AI is super intelligence. No one has any idea what this thing is capable of. And of course, there's some idiot out there that's going to use it for a purpose that's going to harm somebody else. So, at some point, we're all going to become quote-unquote cybersecurity experts to a certain degree, because otherwise, you know, we're just setting ourselves up for a complete disaster.
Greer, you have a design background and use AI extensively for some of the work that you do. I would love to hear your take on this.
Yeah, goodness. I'm wondering if I've already been hacked without knowing it. You know, I love using AI tools. I'm constantly, I do take screenshots, but I, you know, not every time is, you know, I think opening up an image in a new tab and then doing the screenshot can get you the high res. But yeah, be on your feet, you know. It's, you know, we laugh at the boomers who answer phone calls from numbers they don't know. And then, you know, their account is drained or they're giving up their socials. Like, this is just as important, you know, giving over your computer security through using an image tool. You know, wow, this one is shocking. I agree. I'm glad I know about it. And I think that's the key. You got to stay aware and try to learn the best practices before you fall victim. You know, maybe I'm getting a lot more scam texts than normal. So I think this is, you know, a great thing for us to highlight. You're never going to be perfectly secure, but if you continue to learn and try to find ways to do the things you need to without becoming a victim of this, you know, then that's a win.
Yes. So stay tuned to Bitcoin Banter, because we're constantly covering these sorts of things as we find them. Alrighty, guys, let's run through these last few quickly because we're low on time. So Parker Lewis, he says, your favorite all-in-one inflation index has a price update. Same ribeye at the same store is up 6.2% since June, which is 19% annualized since the prior update in 24. Compound annual inflation is 12.6%. Cumulative 72.5% increase since 2022, or I'm sorry, since 2020. Bitcoin is the way out. Those ribeyes sure look good. I'm a little distracted now. Tony, they are, like, to say that they're lying about inflation is so generous.
They're not lying, man. These are like diamond cows. It's like a different breed, man. That's why they're so expensive. What inflation, man? It's a special kind of cow now that they're putting on their shelves. Well, all jokes aside, man, I mean, this is absurd. At some point, you're going to see these numbers, multiply them by 10. And I saw this in Beirut. You know, you go buy a chicken, it costs you $1,600. So this ribeye, I don't know, man, maybe it'll be worse. It'll be like a mortgage at some point to get, you know, one piece of steak, have a steak dinner, is unattainable. This is not a fake dream. This is not a movie. This is going to come. It's coming everywhere. So and we're already starting to see it. 20% double-digit inflation, soon triple. Soon you'll have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-digit numbers on the screen. So brace yourself.
Well, I might be starving here in the near future because I'm not eating the bugs. Greer, what do you think?
Yeah, this is tough. You know, 72% increase since 2020. For me, that is the headline. You know, I challenge you to look at Zillow, find any house listed at 2020 that's for sale today. And I would think it's probably closer to 100% increase in price since then. The point is that the dollar is worthless. So yeah, we still use it. We still buy things, but it hardly buys what it used to. It's down over 45% over the last year, 10% this year. We're watching our dollar just completely lose its purchasing power in real time. You know, this hits people who are just making everyday purchases, trying to feed their families and pay their rent, pay their mortgage, get through life. The dollar is not going to help us. It's not going to get any better. You know, it's not going to increase in value for us. We're not going to see the prices come down. They're just going to continue to go up. So I think, you know, my question is, what do I escape into? How do I get out of this? And obviously it's Bitcoin.
Yeah, but hold on. You're forgetting one important thing. You can finance this now in the US, can't you?
It hurts. Yeah.
It's a beautiful mess.
You can make monthly payments on this piece of meat.
I mean, they've got us right where they, you know, where they want us, where, you know, we're just
like, do you see how absurd this never ending stupidity goes?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Opt out, man. Opt out. This is complete rubbish.
Greer, I have to correct you, though. Tony does not use dollars and he does not buy things. And so I think that's one important note, unless it's a new node. I know he's got like 8 of them running. So always experimenting with good hardware. All righty, guys, we've got let's go again quickly. The IRS is furloughing nearly half of its workers, shutting down most operations due to the ongoing government shutdown. My understanding is they're still removing Social Security from paychecks, though, so they're not really entirely shut down. Greer, as an American, how excited are you?
That's a shame. You know, I think the number's like 43%. And, you know, I don't like to see anyone get unemployed or, you know, but I think that this is good. Let's keep the shutdown going. You know, the question I think that we should be asking is, what does the government really do for us? You know, they tax every single instance of money being sent or traded or from one person to the next. You know, the dollar is continually sliced up and sent off through this mandate. So I saw one congressman who said repeal the 16th Amendment. I think that's a great idea. Let's remove income taxes. And I think we can kind of enjoy this brief respite, you know, for however long it lasts. Maybe they'll get a deal in a week. Maybe they'll get a deal in a month. I think that less government employees is overall a good thing. And, you know, there's probably jobs they can find in the private sector. You know, if you're an IRS employee, lots of accounting firms would probably love to have your expertise.
I think that is optimistic. I think this is bottom of the barrel stuff, Greer, but maybe they can find a job. Tony, I bet you're happy to hear this too.
Man, I don't really have much of a comment to say other than I don't think many people are going to feel sorry for these folks. I mean, it takes a special type of person to want to work for the IRS in the first place. So them losing their jobs, I don't think you're going to have a lot of people crying for you.
All righty. Luxembourg just announced they've invested 1% of their sovereign wealth fund into Bitcoin. This is the world's fourth largest country. Pretty exciting stuff. If you want nation states, obviously, to hold Bitcoin. I assume that 1% is ETF, some sort of an ETF product. I'm guessing they didn't hire the Bitcoin way to take self-custody. But, you know, it's a development. Greer.
Yeah, let's.
You excited, Greer?
I mean, 1%. You know, maybe they have enough wealth that 1% for them is super meaningful. It's more countries adopting Bitcoin. I still think that Bitcoin should be held in the hands of regular people. To me, it's peer-to-peer electronic cash. When you think about a country purchasing Bitcoin, is it ever going to leave? It's going to be locked up forever. And while that might make the available Bitcoin more valuable, really, Bitcoin is there to free you from an oppressive system. So, while we like to cheer the number go up, I kind of like the number going down so that more people, so that you can purchase more if you have the conviction. Obviously, I think this tells people that, hey, the big boys are here. Everyone's buying. And the message that I would say is don't be the last person to purchase Bitcoin.
Yeah, I was unable to confirm if they bought Bitcoin or ordinals. So we'll see what kind of signal they're sending to the populace. But Tony, any other comment?
Hurry up, guys. If you're still lingering on zero, that window is closing in very quickly.
Yes. Okay, the S&P announces plans to launch a Bitcoin-focused index fund. So I looked into this the other day. So I think what it is there's like some spot Bitcoin allocation. There are maybe some mining companies, treasury companies. So I think we can, it's safe for me to assume, not financial advice, this is going to underperform Bitcoin and give you 0% of the sovereignty benefits of owning Bitcoin in self-custody. But again, I think same as Luxembourg, it's a signal. Do you guys agree, disagree, care, not care?
Good for them, bad for the people that are still lingering on zero.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to have Bitcoin in their portfolio. So if you have never purchased it, there's a good chance it's going to be sitting in there somewhere at some point.
Yeah. Alrighty, last one. This one's for fun. In appreciation of, this is Steak and Shake, by the way, in appreciation of Bitcoiners who helped us achieve QSR leading performance, launching a Bitcoin steak burger on October 16th. Steak and Shake same store sales in the third quarter was plus 15%. So good for them. You buy Bitcoin, it is a cheat code, or you accept Bitcoin, it's a cheat code. And fun to see that, a name brand here in the U.S. is, pandering to Bitcoiners, but it's working out for them. We'll support anyone who will take our Bitcoin, of course. Exciting stuff. Do you guys, Tony, I wish we could get you here and go buy a...
You're going to have to send me a picture of that burger. I can already smell it, and it smells delicious.
Greer, you going to go get yourself a Bitcoin steak burger?
Yeah, definitely. We were chatting on X this morning, but I feel like the October 31st is the perfect day to release a Satoshi steak burger. Kudos to Steak and Shake. Yeah, more people accepting Bitcoin. I saw that Jack, has made it popular possible on Square. I think, we talk about circular economies, but Steak and Shake's kind of leading the way in the burger category. So kudos to them. I think if you're going to spend your Bitcoin, replace it. It's, $20 of Bitcoin, but it makes a bigger statement. And that's the key here. Plebs, Anons around the country buying some burgers with Bitcoin is a great example. So I hope other businesses follow suit.
Yeah. And for all the betas out there who are eager to pay capital gains taxes when they spend their Bitcoin, just remember the IRS, half of them are furloughed. So it doesn't even matter. Not financial advice. Guys, thank you so much for the time, Tony, Greer. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Hey, stay tuned. We've got a couple of webinars coming up. The first being Natalie Brunell. We're going to be doing an AMA webinar with her on the 22nd of October. Keep an eye out on our social media channels, subscribe to our newsletter list. We'll be sending an email out there next week, but you're not going to want to miss it. We're going to just spend 60 minutes answering everyone's questions about just about anything. We'll get to as many as we can. And then if you are in Australia, we have one coming up with our friend Adam Hudson of Unemployable Media. I think that one's the 29th, but again, subscribe to our newsletter list, stay tuned on our social channels. And then next month for our Australian friends, we've got another one mid-November with our friend Natalia Clack at Easy Super. And we're going to talk about taking self-custody of your Bitcoin in your SMSF. So all very exciting stuff, important information everyone should be tuning in for. Stick around for another minute, learn a bit about the Bitcoin way. In the meantime, gents, it's been a pleasure as always, and I look forward to catching up soon.
Exciting times ahead, guys.
Yes, sir. Cheers.
Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to the bitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.